Greetings, everyone. Greetings. Happy Easter to one and all. I hope you're having a good Easter. Hope you're having a good Resurrection Sunday. This is Italis One coming at you today. So we're sending greetings to all our subscribers, all of our followers. We're sending greetings to one and all. Because, you know, this is Resurrection Sunday, and it is very special. It is very special, and I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope that it finds you in good health. Yes, and I hope you have been tuning in to the little shots and the little videos that I've put out there regarding the Easter celebration, the Passover. It is, you know, for the people. At the same time, it is because it is special amongst us who are a part of the Christian walk and the Christian liberty. It's based upon, you know, our Lord Jesus and Savior Christ, who came to us through God's Spirit to save the world, this fallen world. Yeah, so we always acknowledge God in everything we do, and we acknowledge Him because He's the author and finisher of our faith. Without Him, none of this would be possible. None of this would be even on my agenda. But because of Him, we give Him thanks. You know, Easter, the resurrection is significant with God's people, right? Because if there was no resurrection, what would be the purpose? What would be the reason for Easter? If there was no resurrection, no empty tomb, our faith would be in vain. We would be like the others out there who worship pagan gods, who, you know, as we know it in the world today, are a part of the global community and say that their way is the right way. But God's way is the right way. Let's be truth about it. God's plan is still in motion, but the significance and the reason for it being in motion is the empty tomb. The empty tomb. If there was no empty tomb, again, our faith would be in vain. So, happy Easter to all the Christians and all of the ones who have not yet to become Christian. Happy Easter to you. Yes. So, we went through the stations of the cross, right? From Gethsemane is where we all started, and actually it started in the upper room when, you know, the Lord had communion and the disciples were there, and the one who betrayed Him, Judas, was there, and basically he came late because he had a meeting with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Yes, and they offered him 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus Christ. But Jesus, in His infinite wisdom, did not address it at the moment, and He allowed him at the table, and, you know, everybody was punctual except Judas came late. and basically, you know, gave away himself, which was obvious to Jesus, but not obvious to the disciples. And Jesus told them, go do what you must. And after that, he went down to Gethsemane, right? The Garden Gethsemane. Famous for its beauty and its serenity, but what made it even more famous was that Jesus went there to pray in the wee hours of the night, knowing his fate, knowing that there was a warrant out for his arrest. He still went there while they were looking for him, and that was where the arrest took place. And from the arrest, he went before the magistrate, the courts, and they found him guilty, and he made his way to the dungeon. And from the dungeon, he had gotten beaten and made his way to the open court, which was mainly consisted of the Jews, and they said they wanted Barabbas over Jesus. Barabbas over Jesus. And so, from Barabbas over to Jesus, they prepared him for the crucifixion, which was over this whole weekend, right? Thursday into Friday. And there are some stations that he did, which is really a winding road to the place of the crucifixion, which was Golgotha. And along that road, it was not easy because Jesus was already beaten and he was worn out, probably didn't have any food to eat or anything to drink because he was a prisoner. And along that road, you know, he stumbled and he fell, and he saw his mother, and the disciples were in the crowd mixed, if not scattered, because they didn't want to be associated with Jesus. Mind you, I skip a part two. In the courtyard, there was Peter and John, and John was in the background. Peter went to go warm himself by the fire, and basically was confronted and asked if he was not a part of the disciples, where he denied him three times and the cock crowed three times. Fast forward back again, he's on the wide road to Golgotha, the place of the skull, Calvary, as many Christians call it today. And you know, he was still under persecution and he was headed to the cross, right? He had to carry his cross, and he fell, I think, twice. The second time, Simon of Cyrene helped him all the way up. When he reached to the top, now they put the nails in his hand. So with the crucifixion, now it should have lasted, I think, about 9 hours. So at that time it would have been about 3 o'clock, and then by 6 o'clock he would have still been in agony, and people would have still been watching the crucifixion, waiting for him to die. At the 9th hour, which would have been about 9 o'clock, it was finished, and he was dead. And they took down his body after they tortured him with the spear on his side and gave him vinegar to drink and basically mocked him and spat upon him
and broke his legs, you know, so that he couldn't hold up his weight and so on. So he was officially dead about the ninth hour. Within that time, according to the scriptures, the moon was blackened, the sky was blackened, there was lightning and thunder, and the holies of holies in the synagogue, in the temple, the second temple, was rent, right, torn into two, and a massive earthquake happened in that region. That stated, when he gave up his spirit, gave up the ghost, as they say, the earth opened up, right, and he left the earth, or left his body, and it caused such of a calamity that basically it would almost compare him to the end of the world, you know. And so moving along, there was a historian by the name of Josephus, and you can check this in the Gospels, you know. I'm not really one for tit for tat, you know, outline. It's just what I've read, and I've read over numerous years. But the history states that Josephus had an empty tomb where nobody was ever buried. And basically, there was nobody else to, you know, recover his body. His mother couldn't recover it. The disciples couldn't recover it. Neither, come to think about it, Nicodemus, a Pharisee who was a believer that came to Jesus by night because he was a student of the Gospels, and student of the scriptures, not the Gospels, the scriptures, and looking for the Messiah, he couldn't even recover it. So it goes to show sometimes that, you know, though you may be on the right, you know, they still wrong always with you, even in death, you know. And people, you know, who you thought were close to you are on your side. You know, things can change, you know, and we mustn't put faith in people, right? Because it's clearly seen that even to his mother, you know, his mother rejected him, you know, at that time. You know, and the scripture does say, all when mother and father reject you, you know, God will hold you up. So Jesus literally had no earthly father, no earthly mother. He just came as a vessel, came in a vessel used by Mary. Mary reject him even on the cross. It's documented, it's proof. You know, but the Lord understood, because his word is final, you know, his word is final. And this was what did take place. Josephus, you know, went to the magistrate, went to the people in charge. They believed they did their justice, you know, which was injustice to a man called Jesus Christ, that had no real crime, did not commit no real crime. The only crime he committed was that he came in the flesh and, you know, came to do his duty, which was to set man free from bondage and chains, and set man free from slavery, set man free from sin, right? That was his only crime, to liberate them that were bound and lost and following and following falsehood. He came to liberate them, do miracles, heal the sick, heal the wounded, give sight to the blind, right? Give hope to the hopeless, give strength to the weak. You know, show them that there is a better way and God has not forsaken them or forgotten them, but his promises are true. This was the purpose of Jesus fulfilling God's plan, right? John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Right? At this stage and time, when Jesus dropped on the scene, right, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were in charge. They were in charge to the point where basically God was silent from Malachi to Matthew for 400 years. God said nothing to man nor animal. God performed no miracle. God had no prophet in Israel. Now, sometimes I get stuck here because it's hard to imagine 400 years without inspiration, without motivation, without revelation. But you're holding on to the Old Testament and you're living life. Just like how we are doing today. We're holding on to the Old and the New Testament and we're living life. And a lot of the miracles what we see today and a lot of the promises, you know, are moving in a pace that is not rapid and it's not quick, and some of them are not true, but the faithful who remain faithful to God stay on the course. You know, we stay on the course because we believe and we are hoping that the Lord will reveal himself in our time and in his perfect way, right? Miracles do happen in this New Testament era. Miracles still happen because I will point out, you know, as we go on, miracles do happen, right? But at the same time, they are not as rapid as we would like them to happen, right? We do not see the fulfillment of God doing what he said he would do, even though he is not a liar, right? He's not a man that he should lie, but his plan is still on course, right? His plan is still on course, and we have to keep the faith, right? We have to keep the faith, knowing that this too will pass and it will come to pass, right? We have to maintain the spirit of excellence, the spirit of truth. Now Jesus goes into the tomb and basically he's buried on a Friday, he rests on a Saturday, which is the Sabbath, and he rose on Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. Now in those days it was not called Easter. The name Easter came about 100 years or more later, when the establishment of the Roman Catholic Church, and it just stick. But for the most part, Passover never changed, right? And he was buried in the Passover and he rose on the Passover. Now, when you search the scriptures, you will see that these are high holy days, right? And the reason for all of what take place is because of the prophecy from the time of the Egyptian bondage in slavery, the present, when he had to be crucified and he came through the vessel Mary. So, it was fulfillment of prophecy, Glory be to God. Thank God for the fulfillment of prophecy. This is what we have over all these other nations and all these other religions, is the fulfillment of prophecy, right? When the final prophecy come, it will be when the return of the Lord Jesus Christ come. It will be the total fulfillment of prophecy, right? To reclaim his own, to, you know, set the wrongs right, to bring the kingdom of God on earth, right? And this is why we celebrate Easter. This is why we hold true to Easter, Resurrection Sunday, right? The Lord will return, because if there was bones in that grave, we could never ever hold to Jesus Christ. Now, I was listening to a debate, you know, about the whole conflict of Easter, you know, if it is a myth, is it facts, is it true, is it a mystery, why do we continue to follow falseness, why do we continue to uphold things and the world is in the state it is in? Well, I don't claim to have all the answers, but I can tell you this. It is truth. It is real. It is factual. Now, the reason why the Lord has not returned yet, because for the most part, people move past the empty tomb and people have moved past the resurrection, right? For the most part, most people don't even care. And the reasons why they don't care is because it's hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, and we live in the present, right? The current state of the world is really falling, right? We have many laws on the books that condone alphabet people. We have many laws on the books that condone murder and condone, you know, adultery and divorce and all the laws that are opposite of the Ten Commandments and opposite of the teachings of the gospel and teachings of the Bible. Many laws. But yet the world still is intact. Right, the world has not shattered, but we have also experienced enough grief, enough pain, which cannot be denied, right? Rumors of wars and many atrocities, falling people who have followed cults and secret societies and different groups. All of this is a result of the fallen world. Now, Jesus did come to save the world, but he didn't come with an iron sword. He didn't come with machine gun. He didn't come with tank. He didn't come as a dictator or a ruler. And this is the beauty of it, right? Because many, as they were looking for Messiah, right? A high priest. At the same time, they was looking for a conqueror, right? To overthrow Rome at that time, who basically did not have any principle other than government and did not have any principle as far as making the world a better place. They took the world by force. Wherever Rome went, blood was shed. But Rome was the last of the last kingdoms that set the example of order. And this is why the Lord, even now, is still working out his plan, right? He's not going to do anything by force. He's not going to be a copycat of previous kingdoms, but he's going to do it in a way where he get the glory. What do you mean, brother? He gets the glory, right? Meaning that he's giving us free will. He's giving us a mind to think. He's giving us a heart to love or hate, right? He's giving us total freedom. Mind you, any of these kingdoms that you see that I mentioned, and even in the present, right? Because we have various kingdoms. We have various kingdoms of the US, Canada, France, China, Russia, the Middle East, all over where it is spread, the UK. You may think you're free, but we are not really free. You understand? We are under some subjection of law, or some subjection of dictatorship, you name it. And the Lord has given us free will, right? Because of the resurrection, right? The gospel was for the Jew, but now the gospel is also for the Gentile, right? And he said in his word, in the scripture verse that I mentioned, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The doors are wide open, the books are wide open now. When God made that statement in the New Testament, he basically said the books are open, right? The door is open, right? Whether you be Jew or Gentile, whatever color you may be, whatever language you may speak, the doors are open. And that is all possible through Jesus Christ, right? For many of us who are of the diaspora, many a time, you know, I look at our situation, I look at our history, and I say, God is amazing, because even out of the pain and suffering, God still brought good to the world through the people of the diaspora. God brought us a mighty long way. And in spite of the pain and the suffering that we have gone through, right, that is documented and it is on the books, you know what I mean? God is a God of justice. And even though he said that one thing years ago, it's still prophecy revealing itself. It is still prophecy revealing. Now, all of our people in the diaspora, we are not all Christians, right? But yet, you see, God is still faithful, and God has given man time to do repentance and to seek him and to know him. You should not take it for granted. You should not take it for granted, because the more we see on a daily basis that the coming of the Lord is near, we see that God is still making a way for those that are lost, even in the diaspora, right? Because it's not just the diaspora, it is other nations also, other race, other tribe, other communities, other households who are coming to this thing we call Christianity, right, are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, by revelation. God's plan is still working. So when I hear all these things about, you know, wars and tragedies and things like that, I just know that the Lord is coming, and he's coming in his time, but he's giving people time. When I see people choosing different groups and factions and organizations and fraternities and different lodges and different societies over the gospel, I know, say the Lord is on his way. Because, mind you, we are living in a fallen society, a fallen world, right? We are dealing with principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. All these things are tools for the coming of the Lord, the coming of God. So glory be to God for the empty tomb, because there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the gospel. There is power in the Bible. There is power, but it's not the power of man. It's the power of God, right? The resurrection is truth. The resurrection is factual. The resurrection cannot be denied, because there were never any bones found. They have the bones of Muhammad. They have the bones of Buddha. They have the bones of Confucius. They have the bones of all these prophets, so to speak, of different religions. They have their bones. They have their tomb. But for whatever reason, the bones were never found. Or for whatever reason, which is the reason that he was resurrected and he ascended to heaven. That is the reason. Thank God. Thank God. And it has survived the test of time. It has survived the test of time. And man must take it by faith. If we read the gospel, if we read the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, every action of every individual of importance that was made known, you can start from Adam, you can start from Eve, you can start from Noah, you can start from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and go on. It was the act of faith. So gospel Christianity, though we know men like to document, men like to keep things, you know, documented and proof for seeing. The Bible said, Jesus said, blessed is them that, he said to Thomas, right? Because Thomas said, I wouldn't believe in resurrect unless I push my finger in him, the nail print in his hand. And Jesus said to him, blessed are they who have not seen but believe, right? It is faith. So, I cannot convince anybody about the gospel. That is not my intention. I cannot convince anybody on an empty tomb. I cannot convince anybody that Jesus lived. No, sir. That is not my intention. It is already documented thousands of years. You can do your own research. I'll not waste time on that. I'm not going to shake Jesus into you. Nor with the fear of God, although you should have the fear of God. That is not my concern. You know, I don't come to save the world. Jesus came to save the world, but I did not come to save the world. God came to save the world, but I did not come to save the world. I came just to give you a thought, right? A thought. Look at the world in the state that it is in. You have tried Buddha, you have tried Islam, you have tried Zen, you have tried Taoism, you have tried Kung Fu, you have tried meditation, you have tried Tai Chi, you have tried yoga, you have tried to do outreach, you have tried to do missionary work, you have joined the Peace Corps, you have joined all these organizations, lodges, secret societies, fraternities, Freemason. You have tried every living thing under the sun, but you have not tried Jesus Christ. Right? Try that for size. Right? Me not go tell you that everything is 100%, because man is involved. But when you take man out of the picture and you see Jesus Christ, everything is 100%, right? When you see what he had done and how he did it to perfection. Men will fail. Men will say they love you today and they hate you tomorrow. They did it to Jesus. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna, the week before his trial. On Palm Sunday, they said, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the following week, on Passover, they said, crucify him, crucify him. You understand? So men will fail. But for the most part, Jesus did everything perfect. The scripture say he was perfect up unto death. You can go Google that, right? Do some research, put it in your Google search. Where Jesus said quotation, or the scripture said quotation, King James Version, he was perfect unto death. You understand? And this is where we need to be, right? Looking at Jesus, not looking at man, not looking at the Pope, not looking at the pastor, not looking at the priest, not looking at your neighbor. No mommy nor daddy, look at Jesus, because at the end of the day, it's only he gonna be able to save you, right? Many are doing ritual and tradition at this time. Many are eating bun and cheese. Many are praying to Mother Mary. Many are carrying crosses. Many are doing reenactments of the Viva de la Rosa. Well, if it works for you, more power. But there is no power in the reenactments. There is no power in bun and cheese. There is no power in praying to Mother Mary. There is only power in the blood of Jesus Christ. The sustaining power of his resurrection, that is the power. It is unbelievable at times. It is unbelievable at times when we see how far we have come and yet we still have more to go. Many people neglect and many people reject the whole cross, the whole Messiah, the whole prophecy, because they have seen so much failure in this life, right? They have an ideal picture of what life is and what life should be, and they believe you can make it in this life just being a good person. You're entitled to think what you want. You understand? But I beg to differ. Being a good person is only below 1%. When we think of the sins that Jesus Christ actually died for, right? Because they say sin. Jesus died for the sin. But it's really plural. Sins of the world. Sins of the world, right? You have jealousy. You have envy, you have malice, you have rejection, abuse, you have gluttony, right? It's for them who eat a lot and you know, they say, oh, this is how it is. No, this is not how it is. God has his laws on food too. But you can still enter in, because that's not going to hold you back. But I'm just giving an example of the sins of this life that we face, right? You have thievery, you have adultery, right? Taking another man's wife or taking another woman's husband, right? You have polygamy, you have false witness, which is lying and stealing, right? You have X amount of sins. You know what I'm saying? Sins upon sins. If I'm my memory serves right, if you read Leviticus and Exodus, you have all these blessings and you have all these curses. The blessings and curses are Deuteronomy 28. In Leviticus, you have about 600 laws just alone. 600 laws that say what is wrong and what is right. The sin of wrong, right? This is what is combined into the ultimate sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. 600 sins total that men commit at some point in their life. You know what I mean? So the whole repentance daily is still factual. That's why there's an empty tomb. You understand? Because sin decays. Sin sends us right back to the dust. Right? If there was bones and there was a body, it would have been proof. They say, oh, this man was not the Messiah. This man never did no miracle. It was witchcraft. Sin sends us back to the dust. Right? Even though we are living for Christ and we accept Christ, sin still sends us back to the dust. Because it's the sin. That's why people get sick. That's why people die. Because the sin of this world sends us back to the dust, sends us back to the Creator. Now, is it our fault? No, it's not our fault that we die. It is the sin of Adam and Eve, which was the first Adam. That's why they call Jesus the second Adam. Because there wasn't supposed to be no death in the Garden of Eden. Man was supposed to live forever. You can check it in the gospel. Put it in your Google. Was man supposed to live forever in the Garden of Eden? Yes. Yes. Man was supposed to live forever. This is also one of the significant points that make Christianity different from every other gospel, every other religion. Man was supposed to live forever, so was supposed to live forever, and it was denied because of sin, because the devil made some trickery and messed up Eve. And God was very serious in those days that he banned them from the garden. And man forfeited his blessing of living forever on earth. The only way now to repair the damage that was done was God going to plan B, to send Jesus Christ. Remember, God's plan is perfect, and in God's infinite wisdom, he had a plan B. In his infinite wisdom. You understand? So this is what transpired. Because man was supposed to live forever. And because man couldn't hold up to the oath of not eating that apple, he sent no sin. God sent the sin that was committed. And he had to repair the same sin that was committed because of the devil, Jesus Christ. You understand me? And Jesus Christ had to go through the blood sacrifice, which was his own life, right? And thus making it a mystery. Because even to wrap your brain around it right now, it's still a mystery. Why God in his perfection had a plan B? You understand? That I cannot answer. Maybe it will be revealed to me in the by and by. But I cannot answer that God's perfection, he had a plan B. And the plan B now was send his only begotten son. Oh people, how marvelous is this? How marvelous is this? To be among the chosen, to be among the numbered few, right? Because even in the plan B, not everyone is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. No, they didn't accept him when Jesus came. They did not accept him, right? Many people still went to hell in that period of history. They still went to hell, died and went to hell because they rejected him. But then those who accepted him, even into this day, the promise was that they will enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man shall live forever in the kingdom of God. That was the original plan. You understand? So, even in the whole mystery, right? From the Garden of Eden, man should live forever. Man failed. God had a plan B. Man still are gonna live forever, but we're gonna pull plan B in the works. There will be confusion. There will be upset. There will be disappointment. There will be false appearances of God. There will be false prophet. There will be wars. There will be witches and warlocks and sorcery and necromancy. There will be all the things that define evil in the world. But for the most part, I am still locked and loaded. I still have God's plan. It is moving like a well-oiled train. Still going, still going to reach its destination, but it's going to take thousands of years. What would have taken maybe 50 years or 100 years or maybe a year is going to take now 1,000 years because of one man's act. Again, because of one man's act, men will be saved. You understand me? So, this is the whole joy of resurrection. This is the full joy of resurrection. Sometimes it amazes me that men, they complain about the gospel, right? I was one of them. You understand? In my youthful days, I was one who really didn't understand the scripture because of the teachers that I had. Even though I learned, I did not learn in totality. And I didn't understand a lot of things because, you know, that's another discussion for another day. I won't go there for this broadcast because, you know, it's the mysteries of God. You understand? The mysteries of God. And like I said, God have his plan B, and his plan B is still working out. It's still working out. It's going according to plan, right? People, don't lose hope. People, don't lose hope. Keep on keeping on. You may not be a part of a church, or you may not be a part of a ministry, but if you stay in the gospel, you'll be good. You'll stay in the word of God. You keep the faith. You'll be good, because God not gonna forsake you either. You understand? We all fall short of the glory of God. Even Italus 1. We all fall short of the glory of God. The mockers will continue to mock. The tormentors will continue to torment. But in his gospel, God give us the keys to the kingdom. right? How to deal with these things. And this is the other reason for which he rose again, right? Because he said, when I leave, I will send the comforter, right? God sent the comforter after that. Because you see, when Jesus came, a lot of men didn't have to do anything. A lot of men were only looking to the prophecy. But because Jesus knew the end from the beginning, he told them, he said, greater than these shall you do that I do. Yeah, greater than these shall you do that I do. Greater works. You understand? And people, when we read the scriptures, we see there was Peter, Paul, there was Andrew, there was Simon, there was Bartholomew, there was Judas, there was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There was Mary, there was Susan, there was Stephen, there was Philemon, Titus. You understand? There were many people just because of Jesus, just because of the disciples, the apostles, who kept the gospel. You understand? Thomas, who kept the gospel, who kept the word of God, who kept the promises of God, who kept telling the nations about the gospel, right? And many lives were affected, many lives were in darkness, and they came to light, right? All because Jesus stayed the course. He was perfect unto death. He stayed the course. You understand? We could talk for days, we can talk for months about the gospel, and it never grow tiresome. This is another reason. You understand? Let me go there. This is another reason. It always ignites a flame. It always ignites a spark. I can listen to Islam. I can listen to all these other needs. I get tiresome. Maybe because there is no promises. Maybe because there is no joy in the whole walk, you understand? Even in, sorry to say, Rastafarianism, I get tired sometimes just listening to things where there is no hope, right? The gospel give you hope. Jesus give you hope, you understand? I look at this fallen world, and many things make it falling, and many things stem from the fallenness of this world. You understand? But for the most part, when I see it, I see there is no hope. People may look like they're hopeful on the surface, but when you get to the root of the matter and you hear the heart and you see the heart and the liberty of people that continue to, you know, appease the flesh, there is no hope for them. You understand? And God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us Jesus with hope. Hope that man should live forever. Right? Because one thing, you know, life's sweet. Don't get me wrong, life's sweet. Life is the best thing. And I believe any person who has tasted life, right, they have a saying, everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to die, because man tastes life. Man tastes life. It is a joy to be in the land of the living, in spite of the hurts and the pains and the sorrows and the griefs. It's still a joy when you see a new day, when you see your loved ones, right? When you laugh, right? When you can do things that bring you joy. It is a gift from God in the land of the living. When you plant a seed and you see it sprout and it go forth, it is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. The infinite wisdom of God. God give man life. life in the land of the living. You understand? So when we go through these traumas, remember there is hope. There is hope. And it all connects back to the Father. It connects back to the Son. It connects back to the Holy Spirit. It connects back to the kingdom of God, the throne of God, the cherubim, the seraphim, the angels. It connects back to God making wrongs right. Connects back to salvation. Connects back to the anointing. Connects back to the temple of God. Connects back to God's original plan, which is plan A. Man should live forever and worship God. Right? Man should live forever in the kingdom of God and experience God's bountiful blessings. God is so merciful, man. God is so merciful. And, you know, it doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be in the dungeons, as was Jesus, as was John, as was Paul. It's a part of the package, right? Persecution is a part of the package, but the promise that man should live forever is that no man can take from us, the promise of God, right? Many of us will go through tragedy. Many of us will experience things that are hurtful. But when we hold on to the promises of God, we know God will see us through. God will be our protector and our physician. He'll be our guide. He'll be our counselor. He'll be our lover. He'll be our fixer, our mechanic, our plumber, our carpenter. He will be our everything. So, friends and family, I really appreciate you guys listening to me. This is the way I communicate with my friends and family on live stream. I communicate this way because a lot of times I have things on my heart that I have to set straight, and I do acknowledge the high holy days of the Father, and the gospel is very important to me. The scriptures are very important to me, amongst other things, but this is of high importance, and I have to share that with you because time is limited. Time is not promised to any man, and we know not the minute nor the hour when all things will be in fulfillment. You know, the world is moving at a rapid rate right now. So we have to get our house in order, and we have to be, as Jesus said about our Father's business, the best way possible. The best way possible, right? And this is one of the best ways possible to be about my Father's business. I am still a creator. I am still a podcaster, I'm still a live streamer, YouTuber, a Facebooker, all of these different platforms that I am on. I am, but most of all, I am a child of God. And I have to be about my Father's business in the most expeditious way, right? And we just ask that you keep us in prayer, because there's more than one Italist. So keep us in prayer and keep us lifted up, you know, because we need it. Above everything else, we need prayer. We need prayer in these times, because we don't come to leave before the time. We come to fulfill the time and leave on the proper departure time. So we need prayer, because the enemy is mad. The enemy is really mad at what we are doing. They don't approve of it, but we keep going forward. Guys, If you like this broadcast and you wish to donate, just go to the link in the bio. You can donate, and all proceeds will be used to the furtherance of this channel and this podcast. I appreciate everybody. If you want to connect, please like, share, and subscribe, and keep me in your prayers. I'm out.